In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, the custom of having special devotions in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary during the month of May first began in the early 1800s. It was started by a zealous priest, Father Lolomia, who resided in Italy. During the early centuries of the Church, the faithful observed Saturday as the one day of the week in which special honor was given to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Thus, it was considered fitting to also dedicate to her honor one particular month of the year. May was chosen as the most suitable month because it's the most delightful of all, for it's accompanied by a renewal of an abundance of lovely flowers and green growth. The devotion was approved by Rome and enriched with indulgences. It spread rapidly and has become a regular feature of Catholic life. The May devotions are a great source of spiritual blessings, for they promote a love for Our Lady. For this reason, demons hate our Marian May devotions. And they told me that two weeks ago. By offering our Blessed Mother our love in extra and special ways this month, we're following God's example of placing her above all His creatures. When God created the Blessed Virgin Mary, He endowed her from the first instant of her existence with incredible natural and supernatural goodness, including her Immaculate Conception. He chose and prepared her to be the mother of His only begotten Son. He not only graced her with motherhood, but preserved in a special way her virginity. This is her divine maternity and the virgin birth and perpetual virginity. The Blessed Virgin Mary became our mother by consenting freely to be the mother of our Savior at the Annunciation. However, it was at the foot of the cross that she became our mother in a more perfect way and contributed more directly and more profoundly to our salvation. Just as children in a home would be lonely and the house desolate if the mother were gone or taken away, so to our church and our spiritual world would, in a sense, be void without the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then the song we sing for the May crowning, one of the verses says, "How dark without Mary life's journey would be." She's essential to our spiritual life, for God has ordained it so. Father Harris, in his book, Mary, the Blessed, the Beloved, goes so far as to say, for a Catholic to cease to have recourse to Mary would be to compromise salvation. In the litany of Our Lady, we invoke her under many titles. Yet the title which is perhaps the most dear to us is that of Mother. As Catholics, we should have a tender and trustful devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. To us, Mary is more than the ideal of a pure and noble womanhood and divine motherhood. Mary is not only the all-holy Mother of God, whom He reveres, but she's also our all-caring and tender Mother, whom He loves. We love her for her Son's sake, because she's so dear to Him. We love her for herself because she's so good and lovable. But we love her too because she's our loving Mother. We do not call her Mother figuratively or from mere sentiment. We call Mary our Mother on the authority of our Savior Himself. When, as He hung dying upon the cross, He used this term in giving her to St. John. It was there that Christ gave His Mother to all mankind, especially to the faithful. She was His dearest possession, and He gave her to us as His last will and testament. To her, Jesus committed those souls for whom He was dying. At the foot of the cross, Mary embraced each one of us as her child. My dearly beloved in Christ, she was made our spiritual mother, and God filled her heart with a mother's love, strong, ardent, and tender, which reached out to the whole world and embraced each and every one of those souls for whom her Son was dying. God's grace also produced in St. John a profound filial affection, full of reverence for the Mother of God. This is the origin of devotion to Mary. Christ entrusted all of us to her care in order to mirror his love for us. What a joy it is to realize that the Blessed Virgin Mary loves us with the same mother's heart with which she loves her son. Next to the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, there can be no love so pure, so deep, so tender as the love of Mary for her earthly children. She loves us with a love second only to that of God himself. This is why we should have complete confidence in her. She's the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. Then he will withhold nothing from her. Since she is our mother, she will not ignore her children's cries when we turn to her. She intercedes for each one of us and is mediatrix of all the graces we receive. St. Louis Marie de Montfort explains most beautifully why Mary is necessary for our salvation when he says, God has chosen her to be the treasurer and dispenser of all his graces. All his graces and his gifts pass through Mary's hands. She has received from God a special power to nourish souls and to make them grow in him. Our Lady leads them to God and unites us to him. In order to make her love for us more understandable, let's for a moment think of the natural ways in which a mother's love shows itself toward her child. She caresses it in her loving arms and showers it with kisses. A mother provides for all its needs, even when it entails personal sacrifice. She consoles it when it's sick. She showers it with things which she knows would give it delight. She fiercely protects it when threatened with danger. Since the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary for each one of us is greater than the combined love of all the mothers who have ever been or ever will be, we know how very dear each one of us is to her. With this in mind, we should never be lukewarm or passive in showing her our gratitude. If we have not as yet responded as we should to her love, then let us, even though it's one more day, this may make a sincere devotion, begin a sincere devotion to our Blessed Mother. If we remain loyal, let us increase our fervor and be even more loving and obedient. The filial love, reverence, and affection which we owe the Blessed Virgin Mary should not be that of mere sentimentality, but should be a thoughtful and generous love, which keeps us from sinning, from doing anything which would displease her or her divine Son. We should seek to please her and promote her honor. This should become a lifetime attitude, which is renewed and deepened every May. True devotion to Mary will lead to a saintly life, for it will lead us to imitate her virtues, her faith, humility, charity, chastity, modesty, gentleness, patience, fortitude, etc. My dearly beloved in Christ, Saint Stanislaus loved to repeat the words, Mother of God and my Mother. This should make us realize that it's indeed a privilege beyond words that Jesus should have given us his own beloved mother to be ours. And we can never sufficiently praise and bless the goodness of God, who in this marvelous way satisfied one of our greatest cravings, the need of a loving and caring mother. It's not the child only who needs a mother's love and care. Unto old age and gray hairs, the human heart craves for that tender love which only a mother can give. It's then a supreme consolation for us to have in our spiritual life one who literally fills the place of a mother, one who loves us even more tenderly than our natural mother, and one who can aid us far more powerfully. That such a mother has been given to us by God, and that she is his own mother, is a thought which should fill us with the greatest gratitude and joy. So we said devotion to Our Lady started in, during the month of May. The May devotion started in the early 1800s. So this story occurred in about 1850. Father Masala stated, "It was the year 1850, and I, persecuted by the heretical Bishop Salmana, was taking refuge in the mountains of Abyssinia. With me were two servants and a donkey loaded with provisions. It was shortly after midnight. There was a beautiful moon that night, and we saw its pale rays through the leaves of a bamboo forest. Not without fear did I hear the far-off roar of wild beasts. But trusting in Mary's protection, of which I had certain almost visible evidence during my many years in the missions, I began to invoke her by singing the litany. With those invocations, I felt courage increasing and also my hope of escaping danger unharmed. Suddenly, however, our donkey flew into a fit of rage and the water jugs he carried crashed to the ground along with the container of the provisions. The two servants disappeared into the forest after him, and I was left alone in that frightening solitude. But I continued to sing the litany of Our Lady. Unexpectedly, I heard the rustling of branches, and I saw leaves moving. At first, I thought a hyena was approaching, for they are very common in those parts. They rarely attack people and are little feared. Instead, however, I saw a short distance away a leopard, the most vicious of the big cats, as big as a calf, with eyes like coals. In terror, I glanced down and saw my bare feet. I recalled that for them, the sight of bare flesh enrages them. And I quickly covered my feet with the sheet I had wrapped about myself. Head up, unmoving, the leopard watched me with blazing eyes. I pressed my missionary cross to my chest and prayed to the Blessed Virgin, whose praises I had sung. I begged her to save me. It was then that the leopard turned around and slowly withdrew. It took me a while to regain my lost wits and continue on my way. Before long, my servants met me with the donkey, again loaded with provisions, and I, after thanking the Blessed Virgin, began my journey once more. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.